Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
The first lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are the members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in extortion, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. That's the end of the reading. Please stand as you are able for the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This ends the reading.
This weekend traditionally brings a time when many people begin traveling. In fact, it appears to me there may be a lot of people traveling this weekend, and that's why our numbers are not what they sometimes are here at Glenmar in worship. As I think back over the travels, the journeys that Joan and I have taken, I begin to think about how all of life is like a journey. There was the time just 3 years ago, for instance, when Joan and I led a group on a trip of a lifetime. We cruised around the Mediterranean and visited many of the sites of ancient civilization that we had only read about in history books or studied about in school, and it was a wonderful trip. And one of the highlights for everyone was the day that we docked in Turkey and visited Ephesus, one of the major biblical sites, a place where Paul had spent a great deal of time, and one of the better preserved ancient ruins. I had my picture taken standing in the place where Paul reportedly preached one of his great sermons. We visited the place where Paul was imprisoned, and we're having a great day. And then on the way back to the ship, our guide took us to a Turkish carpet factory. Well, factory may not be exactly the right word. It's a place where Turkish carpets are made by hand. And after we toured and watched the people making the carpets, we were all ushered into a showroom and we were plied with drinks, not just beer and wine, oh, those were available, but apple cider and Turkish tea. And then they rolled out examples of all the beautiful carpets, and then they began to offer us carpets to purchase. Now, Joan and I had just moved into a new home, and there were several areas in our home that needed carpets. Well, what happened next is that we got taken. I mean, there's really no other way to describe. I am the world's worst bargainer. I mean, after all, I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. I'm taught to be compassionate, not to be tough. And I kept thinking, well, this salesperson has a wife and a family, you know, he has to earn a living. And as a result, we ended up with some beautiful carpets, and they're in our home now. But every time I look at them, I'm embarrassed all over again. And in fact, the thing is that for the rest of that trip, Joan and I lived with some regret and resentment over that experience. Now, the trip went on, and we visited many other wonderful places, which we didn't quite fully enjoy as we might have because we were worried about the mistake we had made. So what occurs to me is that as we travel through the journey of life, many people spend most of their time reliving the past, regretting things that they did or that they didn't do, dwelling on the mistakes that they have made and the guilt that they feel. Now, there's another side of that living in the past, too, and that's trying to recapture and reenact those good moments from our past, hanging on to them and trying to find a way to make them happen again. But the bottom line is that many of us spend a lot of our time reliving the past. But there's another side, too, of our journeys. There was the journey that Joan and I made to the Grand Canyon. It was the third time that we had been at the Grand Canyon, and each time that we visit the Grand Canyon, we're just overwhelmed by the sheer immensity and beauty of the place, and we just kind of stand on the rim in awe of it all. And one afternoon, as we were standing there, late in the afternoon, a car pulled up, a family got out, the parents lined the children up along the railing overlooking the rim, snapped their picture, and then said this: "Hurry up, get back in the car. We have to get to Four Corners before it gets dark." Anybody been to Four Corners? Four Corners is a place where four states come together. There's a little plaque in the desert sand, and that's it. And they left the Grand Canyon so they could get to Four Corners before it got dark. But isn't that how we sometimes live our lives? I assume they wanted to get there so they could snap the kids' picture at Four Corners and add that to the places they had been on this wonderful trip that probably was better in retrospect than it was at the time. Because how can you enjoy the Grand Canyon in 10 minutes? And yet, that's the way some of us go through life. When we're not reliving the past, we spend too much time anticipating the future, planning for the future, working for the future, hoping for the future, trying to imagine some ideal experience that we have in mind, and more often than not, ending up disappointed because the reality doesn't live up to the expectation. Well, the problem, of course, with all this reliving the past and anticipating the future is that we lose out on the joy of the moment. And one of the things that I've learned in my 43 years in ministry is that this characterizes much of our lives. We live in the past or the future, but not in the present. Some of you, like me, recently completed a study, a small group study, using the book Revealed. And one of the lines that has stuck with me ever since I think it was the first session of that study, was where the author said this: "The past is history, the future mystery." But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Today is a gift. Now, all of life is a journey. But what I've experienced and what I've discovered is that we live so much of it in the past and so much of it in the future that we never fully experience the present. And in that journey of life, the thing I've discovered is that no matter how much we look forward to something in the future, life's journey doesn't really have a destination. So many of our travels are destination-focused. We travel in order to get somewhere. And the journey doesn't count. It's just the getting there that's important. But in life, what I've experienced, and maybe you have too, is we never really get there. There's always somewhere more to go. The way I put it, and I apologize for those who are not sports fans in the crowd, it seems to me like in ministry and in life, we never get to spike the ball in the end zone. And when a football player scores a touchdown, they throw the ball into the ground, they do their little dance, and it's a time to celebrate and enjoy that accomplishment. But in my experience, every time I seem to reach a point like that in life, I become immediately aware that there's more to do, somewhere else to go. And that robs us of the experience of the present. So in spending too much time regretting things we did or didn't do in the past, or agonizing over things that might or might not happen, in the process, we lose the opportunity to enjoy the present. A man named Alan Watts, a philosopher, wrote a little book called The Wisdom of Insecurity, in which he asks this question: what is the use of planning to be able to eat next week unless I can really enjoy the meals when they come? If I'm so busy planning how to eat next week that I cannot fully enjoy what I'm eating now, I will be in the same predicament when next week's meals become now. If my happiness at this moment consists largely in reviewing happy memories and expectations, I'm but dimly aware of this present. I shall still be dimly aware of the present when the good things I've been expecting come to pass, for I shall have formed a habit of looking behind and ahead, making it difficult for me to attend to the here and the now. That's been the story of my life, and I expect that maybe it's a story that describes your life too. What occurs to me, especially in response to the readings that we've heard this morning, is that the only people who can really enjoy life and be truly happy in the present moment are those who know their past is forgiven and their future is assured. Their past is forgiven and their future is assured. To help get at that a little bit, I remember a phrase from a book by Robert Raines. The book was entitled Success is a Moving Target. And in his book, Robert Raines asks this question: who gives you your grades? Who gives you your grades? Now, for those of you who are still in school, the obvious answer is teachers give us our grades. But here's the thing. Even before you were in school, you were receiving grades. Our parents give us our grades. They may not come in written form on a report card, but our parents let us know how we're doing, whether we're doing well or not so well. And so we are trying to please our parents. The truth is, many of us are still trying to please our parents, still trying to improve the grades that we're receiving from our parents. When we graduate from school and we go to work, our bosses give us our grades. We get married, our spouses give us our grades. We have children, our children give us our grades. We are constantly trying to do things and to be persons who will get good grades from other people, who will be pleased with us. And so we constantly are worrying about how we did in the past and worrying about how we can do better in the future. Now some people would say that a sign of maturity is the point where we begin to give ourselves our own grades. And that sounds fine in principle. But in my life, the way it worked out was, that was even worse, because I grade myself harder than I grade anyone else. And I grade myself harder than other people grade me. So that doesn't seem to me to work. The only way to stop worrying about our grades and what other people think, the only way to know our past is forgiven no matter what it contains and our future is assured no matter what it may bring, is to put God first and trust in God. To trust that God will forgive our past and God will provide for our future. The only way to know your past is forgiven and your future is assured is to put God first and to trust in God. I think that's maybe what Jesus was trying to say in that passage that Alex read for us from the Sermon on the Mount, that portion of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus goes through and he encourages us not to worry. He says, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. But you notice that section, that verse 25, begins with the word therefore. Jesus says, therefore do not worry, which implies that the answer came before. He tells us something, and that's the reason we don't have to worry. And what Jesus said before is this: no one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. See, that's the point, I think. If we're serving wealth, if we're serving what the world can give us, whether it comes in the form of grades or raises or pleasures, we are always constantly going to be worrying about the opportunities we missed or the times we messed up, or worrying about the future and how we'll deal with life, what life might bring us. But when we serve God and put God first, that's when the worries go away. What Jesus is really saying is, put God first in your life, therefore don't worry. Because God forgives your past, no matter what it is. And God assures your future, no matter what it brings. Now, Paul puts it another way in that passage from Romans chapter 12 that Alex read a little earlier as well. And Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Put God first. Don't be conformed to the world. If you're always trying to please the world and the people in the world, you will constantly be worrying. You'll constantly be living in the past or in the future and not enjoying the present. But when we are transformed by the renewal of our mind and seeking first God's will, then the worries evaporate. The only people who can stop worrying about the past and the future enough to find fulfillment and joy in the present are those who know their past is forgiven and their future is assured. And that forgiveness and that assurance are found only in relationship to God, to the God who created us, the Father who created us and continues to create within us, the Son who redeemed us, dying for our sins so that we could be forgiven, and the Holy Spirit who sustains us and supports us and guides us each step along the way. That's where we gain strength for the journey. And that's how we're able to fully enjoy the moment. If we're seeking strength from the things that we did or amassed, if we're seeking strength from the promise of the things that we look forward to that are out there like a carrot, then we're going to get tired because we're worrying all the time. the strength for the journey of life comes from the knowledge, the awareness that our past is forgiven and our future is assured because of our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Our strength is not in our past, what we've achieved or acquired, not in our future, what we might accomplish or amass. Our strength is in the God who made heaven and earth and who sent God's only Son to die for us. The prophet Isaiah reminds us in the closing verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. That is where we draw the strength for the journey of life. All life is a journey. We never reach that final destination in this life. And so much of our strength and our fulfillment and our joy are sapped by our worrying about the past or about the future, that we miss out on what the present holds for us. The only way to fully find fulfillment and joy in the present, to know that our past is forgiven and our future is assured, is to trust in the God whose strength renews our strength day after day. Amen.